And welcome to the Rondo.
Another week.
That's it. We're back. Great weekend of Premier League football.
Was it?
It was a good weekend of Premier League. Maybe for me, not for you, but yeah. Very good weekend of Premier League football. Obviously, we had the City Tottenham game just finished. We had United Newcastle. Great game.
Was it?
Really. But anyway, we had Chelsea Brighton as well. So very good week of Premier League fixtures. And there's been fixtures across Europe this week as well. And we've seen some howlers. Some serious howlers.
Hmm.
But anyway, we're going to start off with the Premier League this week. Then we're going to go into some bit about Jude Bellingham and then worst goalkeeping howlers. I got a couple on there. Yeah, we have to. Because you know who we're going to focus on.
Oh my.
But anyway, let's start off at the Etihad Stadium today.
Great game.
City 3, Spurs 3. Spurs have been City's bogey team for the last 3-4 seasons. I'd say. What was your take on the game?
I watched the game and I just left. My impression was that I'm really, really, really impressed with Spurs and Postecoglou. How can you not be? Honestly, I think going to their stadium and going machine for machine with them, I think is no mean feat, as I can attest to. As a Manchester United fan.
You can't do that, though.
Exactly my point.
Okay, cool.
I thought they've got most of their key players out. In fact, all of their key players are out, apart from Son, who had a great game, I thought.
Bissouma came back, to be fair.
Yeah, but I thought, you could tell you're still a bit leggy. But yeah, man, I thought they played really, really well. Obviously, I thought in a way they were a bit unlucky not to come out with a result. I mean, obviously, City kind of dominated.
The ball, yeah.
Yeah, but you expect that, right? And I think the way they set up, the way they scored their goals, Tottenham scored the better goals, in my opinion. There's the one.
Lo Celso goal. Very good
goal. That was really nice. What was the one, the really intricate one City scored? That was Grealish.
Not Grealish.
No.
Foden goal.
Yeah. That was really nice. But aside from that, I thought Tottenham could really hold their heads up high. And I think you can say if they had Maddison, whatnot, I think you could see them getting a result out of that one.
Interesting. I would say, of course, as you said, because you're playing City, you're not going to have as much of the ball anyway. Yeah. So it didn't look like the Spurs we saw early on in the season.
That's fine. You
could probably attest that to the fact that they have so many players out. I still believe City should have won that game. They created more than enough opportunities to do so. I do believe they were the better team. I just believe Spurs were more clinical with the chances they got. Son, great finisher, but again, Edison should 100% be saving that first goal.
Yeah, but Edison does that, man.
Even the second goal with Lo Celso, he gets his hands to it. So if a goalkeeper gets his hands to it, I kind of want to save, I'll be honest with you.
I agree, but Edison, that's what he does them things.
I feel like given Spurs' last three games were all losses, it's surprising. Is it really surprising? Man City versus Spurs. They got their first point back against City. I still worry for them going forward, especially with all these injuries and all these players out. I feel like, and I'm not too sure what their next couple of games are, but I don't think they're going to be this phenom that we saw from early on in the season. They're definitely going to drop off.
I mean, I think, their form early on in the season suggested title contenders, which obviously was a bit of a false position. I don't think anyone ever looked at Spurs and thought they need to or should be going for the title. But I think based on this game, you can see they'll definitely be within that top four comfortably. And I think they'll be able to keep it ticking. I think the big fear was with all the injuries, they'll kind of drop off and kind of go, maybe even drop out of the top four. But I think this kind of shows, do you know what? Ange has actually properly coached his team to the point where even with all these injuries, they can still go to teams, still play their brand of football and get a result. And that's all you can really ask for.
But you say that, but they've had these injuries for like four of the last four games.
Yeah.
They've won none of them. They've lost three of them. So
yeah, but
can you really say this is sustainable going forward? Do you not believe Ange somewhere down the line has to be like, all right, cool, I need to be pragmatic in this situation?
Not really, no.
But evidence suggests that he does. He has all these injuries. He needs to change something.
Yeah, but change in terms of what? Like, you want him to drop the line deeper?
100%.
No, man.
100%.
No, man. If you can go to City and go bar for bar with them.
Clearly, this is an anomaly in the games that he has had injured players. And it's not even a win. It's a draw.
But it's one of them draws that feel like a win.
Really?
Yeah.
Spurs are probably...
If I was a Spurs fan, I'd be very happy with the result.
I'd be happy with the result given we've lost our last three games to lesser opposition.
Even even if they had won their last three games, I'd still come out of this
Spurs
game.
Spurs fans are used to beating City, so I don't really agree with that.
They shouldn't expect that.
At this point, like I can't list their last couple of games, but the last couple Spurs City games I've watched, at least the last three or four, have been resounding Spurs wins. You know, teams have bogey teams, and Spurs is just
I'd be more worried if I was City after this match.
I wanted to get on to City, so I saw a diagram showing City's games against the top six.
It's not going well.
They've only beat Man United this season.
So that doesn't count, by the way. That doesn't count. We're not a top six team anymore.
One second.
We're not. That doesn't count.
No, because traditional top six. So they've played Liverpool. Mm-hmm. They drew. They played Arsenal. They lost.
Yeah.
They played Chelsea. They drew. They played Spurs today.
Yeah.
They drew. So that's four. And last one, United.
So you're saying if they were a football player, you're saying they'd be Romelu Lukaku, just flat track bullies.
Basically, yeah.
I agree.
So, like, obviously,
I'd be worried.
United one's an anomaly because your team is just a bit.
We're rubbish.
Yes. We're rubbish. You're a bit off at times.
No, we're rubbish.
No, because your Premier League form it's not that bad.
It's bad.
When I say form, it's what your actual results. It's actually quite decent.
Forget the results. We're bad. We're rubbish.
Okay, cool. What is wrong with City, essentially? What's the problem? We're used to City just beating everyone. They go to the Emirates, they beat Arsenal. They might draw with Liverpool. They always beat Chelsea.
Yeah.
They always tend to beat their rivals. It's not happening this season.
I think it's kind of hard to diagnose what's going wrong here, because when you watch them, you can't necessarily say there's anything tactically wrong with them or whatnot, especially compared to last season. But I think, I don't know, maybe they've just, like, not to sound cliche, but they've lost a bit of motivation. Because I agree. One thing everyone's kind of said after, like, all these big City matches is that, oh, they've not really got out of third gear. They're kind of coasting. Mm-hmm. But it's been a few key games now we've said that. So that would kind of lead me to believe in that maybe that is their final gear now. And before when we saw City especially come up against like a United or something like that, they would kind of take it easy, two goals up, whatnot. They never really get out of third gear, but they didn't need to.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of getting to the point where it's looking like, okay, maybe this is all they've got. And I don't know if it's a case of I still think Gundogan's a big loss for them, and I think they haven't replaced that in midfield. It's really hard to say what's going on with City at the moment. And not that they're in, I think the way we're talking about them now kind of, it just goes to show how good they have been and how good they are.
Because it's not a crisis.
It's not a crisis in any stretch of the imagination. 100%. But we'd expect them to this is when they now start building form
momentum,
and start running away with the league. And if going on to December, January, this kind of continues, then maybe we start getting worried that a certain North London club might win the league. Because unlike City, they are now actually building some momentum and getting key results on the board and like quite convincing results. Again, not that Arsenal also do still seem like they have some fragile spots, shall we say. They can't really necessarily put games to bed in the way they should. They always find a way to keep the other team involved, like we saw against Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. It's a bit hard to say what's going on with City. I'm a bit lost for words.
For me with City, they're not as defensively strong.
Yeah.
You'd think given the type of profiles he has in that team, the Diazes, the Guardioles, the Akes, the Akanjis, that they would be a lot more defensively robust. But they've conceded quite a lot of goals this season. For example, three goals at home today. They conceded four goals to Chelsea.
You're not too impressed with Guardiola, are you?
I honestly don't believe he's a left back.
Yeah, definitely not.
He shouldn't be. Him defending channels, he's not great at doing so.
We
saw this in the World Cup. The one time we saw him defend the channel against Messi, Messi ripped him to shreds. Messi, doesn't matter, but it's about defending the channels.
I always thought he was quite quick.
He's decently paced for a centre-back. He's not going to...
I think the problem with City is because of the way they're set up. They've got the three and the two, and then they've got their wingers.
Yeah.
High and wide. They don't play with traditional fullbacks or wingbacks in any stretch of the imagination. You need someone covering that right and left side that's like super quick
100%.
And super athletic. And Yeah, I think Walker showed like had a really good game. But they need that on the opposite side as well.
Exactly. But what I remember Pep saying not too long ago, I think about 2 weeks ago, he was saying that he doesn't believe Guardiola can currently do the main centre back role. That's why he's being played in that sort of left back position.
But you spent how much on him?
But you know, Pep, when it comes to his tactics, it's all very niche. Like, it's quite. I feel like we need to remember Guardiola's about what's it 21.
Yeah,
he's a young centre back. He will grow into it. Like, give it a couple of years. He's going to be a phenomenal centre back for Man City or maybe for another team. Who knows? I don't think that's a big worry for City though, because they have the they have Stones. They have so many different top level centre backs that they're going to be okay. I do want to talk about Rodri though. I've seen recently Rodri has obviously on the ball. He's still been his same normal self.
He played a great pass today.
100%. He's still been dictating play, but I've seen teams get past him quite a lot recently.
Yeah.
Which is surprising. Is it surprising? I think it's more of a tactical thing, because if you looked at last season, you had John Stones coming out from centre back or
which inverted. They're not really doing anymore.
John Stones has been injured, so we haven't really seen that much. So he doesn't have that sort of partner to help him defend. At the beginning of the season, they were playing Kovacic and Rodri as a sort of like pivot, but Kovacic has dropped out, and now they have Rodri, Silva, and if you want to say Alvarez is a 10/8, so there's less defensive cover there. I feel like that might be a reason that 100%. City have been 100%. So lax.
Yeah, they lack a bit of nous in midfield and defensive areas.
Yeah,
and so, I think that's what I think Gundogan was great at in terms of, he was very all action, like classic box to box, right? In terms of they've lost his ability to kind of get on the end of goals.
Goals, 100%.
In the other half, but they've also lost his ability to just kind of keep the ball ticking, also know where to be on a counter-attack. You saw with the first goal, right? It's like, a goal like that, you shouldn't concede that at this level.
No.
Right? And it's just a bit of naivety, right?
Mm.
But great, speaking of Son's performance, great performance. I think everyone said like the key, the fear for Tottenham in losing Kane wasn't necessarily that Son couldn't step up with the goals, but you lose everything else that Kane brought the team. I think today's performance, it was kind of like watching Kane. I was like, he was holding up the ball, spraying it out wide. I was like, wow. I've not really seen that.
Son's a very good player. Very intelligent, kind of, as well.
I think this might be like a legacy defining season for him, in that the way the career he's had in the Premier League suggests that he's top level player. But this season is kind of cementing his legacy. I think they've got a. It's nice to see how he stepped up.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I still believe they need a new nine though. I don't think Richarlison.
Oh, definitely not.
And I don't think, Son has done a job there, but I don't think he's the answer going forward for the next 2 or 3 years. I would say they should.
But I don't necessarily think they need a nine, because I think they could continue with Son up front, but they definitely need like a complementary profile on the left for him, if that's the case.
You don't rate I thought Gil was good today.
He was, but that's not going to take you there, is it?
You don't know. Like, he's a very young guy. He hasn't really been given opportunity at Spurs. He's a bit flimsy, what I would say. He's good on the ball. He's a bit flimsy. Once he becomes more robust, shows a bit more of that side of his game, he should be fine. I don't know why they sold.
A fine is not, it's not what you need, is it?
Oh, so you want a top level player there? Then
I mean, I don't want them to get that top level player there, but from their perspective, yeah, it's what you want.
Okay, before we go on to the next game,
who's the next game?
So there was another game somewhere in the northern area as well. Hmm? I think it was in St. James Park.
Where's that?
It was in Newcastle. So yes,
what?
Newcastle versus England? Manchester United.
Okay. Is that in the English Premier League?
I believe you're a United fan. You should have watched
the
game.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Okay, yeah, so Newcastle.
Crazy.
Back-to-back wins, first against Chelsea and now against United.
Yeah.
1-0. What was your take from the game?
My overall take from the game, to be honest, Ten Hag, your time is done.
Damn.
Your time is done. I've seen enough. I can't defend this much longer. I can't defend it at all, in fact.
Okay, what was Ten Hag's fault? I don't understand.
Everything. Every single thing I saw on that pitch.
Interesting.
So I'll be honest. And I feel like this was my body telling me something. But I had a big Friday night, so I was, you know when you have one of those Saturdays, you're just in and out of bed, sleeping. You just wake up to get the Uber Eats.
We're not 18 anymore. We can't just bounce back.
Yeah, I can't, because I had a big Thursday as well. I can't do it anymore.
That's what happens when you get close to 30.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, so I didn't actually end up, I didn't wake up until the 30th minute.
Fair enough.
And then I'm in bed, I go on my Sky Go, I tune in, and I'm just like, what the hell is this?
Okay.
Bro, I didn't see us get the ball in their half until, so I tuned in the 30th minute. It's not mm-hmm. until the 43rd minute that we got the ball into the half. And I don't care what the excuse is, injuries, fitness, whatever, man. Them are not trying to say because the plane got cancelled and they had to take a train, so their legs were tired and they had cramp.
Oh, the train's like a three, four-hour train.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're down the road. There's yeah. no, there's
it's
honestly...
Like 3-4 hours, so like an hour train.
There's honestly no excuse, right, to, at that level of football when you're Manchester United.
100%.
We play like a relegation team. Like, we play worse than Bolton in 2006.
Oh, breathe, man.
No, genuinely, it's not good. And you have to blame it all on Ten Hag. There's no semblance of coaching. The players look disinterested.
Okay, let's break this down first. Yeah. Lineup. Did you have any problems with the lineup?
100% I had problems with the lineup.
I thought it was a decent lineup.
No.
What's the issue?
I don't get this. Firstly, Maino and McTominay in midfield. Makes no sense for me. You're relying on one, an 18-year-old kid, and two, another player who's just not a deep midfielder at all.
But what's the alternative you had for the Casemiro's injured, no?
Even though he's shocking, like I'm a proponent of playing players in their natural positions, right?
So who would you?
So either put Amrabat there or put Bruno deeper and McTominay further ahead. At least last season we've seen
you played Maino and like Bruno has that sort of pivot type.
Well, but it's not really a pivot because he does the double eight thing, right? But it's just one in possession is expected to go a bit further forward and essentially play in the forward line, which again is a tactical mistake.
You'd rather have McTominay as your midfielder further forward than Bruno.
100%. 100%. McTominay is not adept in a deeper position.
Where's Bruno better?
Obviously, he's better further ahead. However, that being said, if you're playing Bruno in a game further ahead, in a game, I would say, not even in a game such as this, every game is like this for now, where he's not going to get on the ball at all. He's useless being isolated up top by himself, and he's going to come deeper to affect the play anyway. So you might as well bring him deeper because at the end of the day, he's your only player in that team that can actually thread a ball in somewhere. He's the only one that can pick up the ball in midfield and give a bit of magic. So you might as well play him deeper. Shaw at centre-back, even though Shaw and Maguire had a great game. Great game.
They had no help at all and they were...
No help at all. Yeah. However, I do not want to see that useless scrub Dallo play fullback for my team again. I do not want to see it. And you have Varane there. You even have Johnny Evans, who you've brought out of the Shadow Realm to replace Varane.
You're an idiot.
Bro, and this is my problem with Ten Hag, is that he's so concerned, right, with minutia details, like, oh, angles. So I have to have Shaw playing at left centre back and Maguire can't play there because of angles. My friend, these are not the issues we have now. Those are things you work on when you're Arsenal right now, when you're putting the final touches on your team. So you need to focus on the fundamentals.
Okay.
And the fundamentals are that tactically your team is broken. There are wide gaps everywhere. Your centre midfielder, your defensive midfielder is isolated in every aspect of the game. You're essentially playing with two teams. You have a deep back four and you have a front four, front five that are playing so far ahead, they're disjointed. You've then got these players pressing forward, but it's only the front four players that press forward. So they're chasing shadows all game. And then the ball, 1-2 pass, they're bypassed. Your midfielders, they're isolated. And now your back line is isolated. And now you're expecting Martial, Garnacho and Rashford to do shuttle runs. It's not going to work. It's a ridiculous, ridiculous concept. And I can't keep watching this. I cannot. Ten Hag, your time is done. From what... Bro, you're terrible. I'm so sorry.
This is a man who got you third place last season. You want to
cut last season. That third place was a mirage, man. That third place was a mirage, really. It's only because Chelsea were really rubbish. Liverpool were really rubbish. That's it. And Newcastle can... Well,
they're newbies, isn't it?
Yeah, man. They allowed us. No, man, I'm not.
So I remember before you were saying that how Ange sticks to his philosophy, yeah?
Yes.
And you wanted to relate that to Ten Hag.
Yes.
But my issue with that whole thing is that Ten Hag has said that he didn't come to United to play his Ajax.
So what the hell did he come to do?
He said he wants to be the best transition team in the world.
But he's not even doing that. How have you set up this team to be the best transition team in the world when they can barely string three passes together and get the ball out of their own half? And then you're wondering why Rashford, Martial, everyone looks so disinterested. My guy, you've got players that excel.
I'm so sorry. Rashford is on 350k a week. He should be tracking back.
Listen, of course, and you know how
he was appalling.
How I feel about footballers earning money and not doing their job. But at the end of the day, human beings are human beings, right? And if you put someone in the wrong role in to do something they're not very good at, and give them a job that is impossible, at the end of the day, they're going to become disheartened and they're not going to give you your all. And at the end of the day, you're a manager. Your job is to manage players and manage people.
He's not a good man manager at all.
Well, therein lies another problem. Ten Hag, you have not shown that you're capable of any aspect of being a Manchester United manager at this stage. It's been 18 months, if probably a bit longer than that, and I have not seen anything that's better than Mourinho, better than Van Gaal, and definitely have I not seen anything that's better than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. This is genuinely some of the worst football I've seen Manchester United play in my 26 years of life.
Van Gaal was worse. Much
100%
worse.
100% not.
I guarantee you Van Gaal was worse.
No way.
That was some of the most boring football I've ever watched in my life.
But at least we had control of the game, right? Boring. We did nothing with the ball.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So what's the point?
But I'd rather do that. Yeah. I'd rather do that than be fighting for my life. Yeah. We are fighting for our lives here. Like, the statistics that I've seen come out in the wake of the match, apparently, like, it's something we're like the third worst team for keeping possession in the league or something like that. We just don't get the ball in the other team's half. It's ridiculous.
So you don't think Ten Hag can somehow find a solution to this?
Where? It's been 18 months of the same thing, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. At least
it hasn't been 18 months.
Yes, it has.
You were flying higher at a certain point.
No. We were getting points on the boards, but Rashford was bailing them out, essentially. That's what happened.
Fair enough.
Yeah, again, we didn't have control of the games. We didn't play good football. We didn't do anything that I hadn't seen us do under Ole. It's just unacceptable. It's just completely and utterly unacceptable. And I don't get why, after £400-500 million spent, you need everything in place. Everything has to be perfect. Not one player can be injured for you to play a semi-decent brand of football. But we've literally just seen Postecoglou rock up to the Emirates with Emerson Royale and Ben Davies at centre-back and go machine for machine with them. It makes no sense. We can't even get a goal. If we went to Fulham tomorrow, we would not be able to get a goal. Yeah, let alone a goal at City. It's not on. It's just not on.
I'm pretty sure in that starting lineup from yesterday, you didn't have Ole Onana was your only Ten Hag signings that started, no?
And what's happened to all your signings, bro? Where are they?
Most of them are injured or some of them are out of form. So you can't expect him to play the kind of football that he wants to play.
But if everybody is injured and if everybody is out of form, do you not have to look up? Do you not have to look up and say, why is this the case? It can't be that everyone is injured and out of form. Surely there has to be a wider reason to this.
So Ten Hag is a bad manager?
Yeah, man. I've
His track record speaks otherwise.
No, how does it speak otherwise? What has he done in this world of football?
For the Ajax team.
Okay.
Champions League semi-final.
I could have done that. I could have done that.
Ridiculous.
100% I could have done that.
Okay, moving on. There was a clip of Rashford when he got subbed off. Yeah, he was a bit annoyed and he mouthed, what the F am I doing here?
I saw what the F. I didn't really think, I don't necessarily know what he said at the end. I don't want to cast assertions.
That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
Going from that, do you believe that Rashford would do better at any other Premier League club?
100%. Bro, as a Rashford fan now, just go. I can't keep hearing Jalen. I can't keep hearing individuals such as Jalen talk crud on my boy's name, yeah. And I have nothing to go back. I can't. What can I say at this stage?
Is he your best player?
It's out of him, Bruno, and Shaw. Let's take whichever one you want.
No, I'm asking you. Is he your best player?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, probably.
So you believe he could go to the likes of Arsenal and. Absolutely 100%, dominate.
100%, 100%. That would be, if he went to Arsenal win the league.
Yeah, Rashford is not that good, brother.
Yes, he is.
Like, he's a good player. He's a decent player. Like, yes, he's good at what he does, yes, getting behind and scoring goals. But I don't believe
he's got more to his game than that.
He used to, and
I'm not going to get into that. But and this is the thing. So I'm watching City and Tottenham today, and like for example, you take
I think Doku over Rashford though.
But this is my so you. It's interesting you say that because I'm watching Doku, right? And aside from that one time he hit the crossbar,
that was very good.
Yeah, but Rashford does that
when
he this is my point, right? Doku in that game got the ball and was isolated against his fullback on a number of occasions, but because City dominate the ball, him getting the ball and then there being no final outcome to it, it doesn't look bad. The narrative becomes, oh, Doku was lively, he did something.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're Marcus Rashford and you only get the ball, forget you, the whole team only gets the ball 3-4 times in a match to do something with it for your team and nothing comes of it, the narrative then becomes, oh, he was wasteful in possession. But really, they've both done the exact same thing. It's just a matter of, you need, at the end of the day, being in a football team and winning games is about creating chances and creating numerous chances. You're not going to score every chance. You're not, even the best of chances, everything relies on luck and whatnot at a certain stage. And it's all about dominating, creating overloads and creating multiple chances. You increase your likelihood of winning. And Manchester United just don't do that. So I think it's very unfair to judge. Obviously, Rashford's been very disappointed this season, but I do think it's very unfair to judge him harshly as an individual rather than judging him based on the whole team. And the whole team's been disappointing. And ultimately, if the whole team's been disappointed and you look back to this team has achieved things and has been able to go to top teams and play well and get good results, then ultimately you have to start looking at the manager. And don't get me wrong, I'm well aware and I'm the biggest proponent of the fact that the structure at United is horrible and is set up for most people to fail. But at the end of the day, there's basics that you have to do. There's fundamentals that you have to do. And you've been given the tools to do that as a manager. And you're just not doing it. And ultimately, it's worth the sack. And look, in the next 2 weeks, after this game week, we've got Bayern and then Liverpool. The Liverpool match is on the 18th of December, which when Mourinho got sacked is also when we faced Liverpool. Mourinho got sacked on the 19th of December, the day after.
5-0.
Yes, it was. Okay. If you we have a group chat. If you go back to our group chat at the start of the season, I think you will find what I said is that Liverpool match will claim his job. And I can't keep going 10 for 10 with these predictions. You can't keep letting me be the oracle like this, yeah?
See, my only problem with sacking Ten Hag is there's no one else out there. Unless you've been Graham Potter in, which is going to be the worst decision you can ever make.
So, interim manager.
Who?
Who?
Hmm?
There's a certain Norwegian fella who is still not in the job.
you want to bring back Ole?
100%. 100%. I even know who I want to be my full-time manager.
Who's that?
But you're gonna have to coax him out. You might have to give me the bib for the... Oh, we don't have the bibs today, do we?
No. Nah.
You might have to turn the lights red for this one.
Is it Diego?
Yeah.
That's not even a run, though. I hear it.
I want Diego, yeah. It's time for some soccer ball. It's time. We're not built for this. We're not built for possession.
Diego Simeone, yeah, United.
Yeah, man.
Give it 2 years, you might win a league. Yeah.
Bro, we need someone that can go up against the board.
Board, exactly. Yeah.
We need we don't need a coach. We need a manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need someone that's going to be the whole club, structure. But we also need someone that's going to give these players punishment.
Punish them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see me? United, I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
That's my shout
for if it doesn't work for Poch at Chelsea, that's who I'm going for as well.
Oh,
bring Diego to the bridge. Cool. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. Bro. Moving on, before we go on to Bellingham, I actually want to go on to the worst goalkeeping howlers that we've seen in our lifetime.
I'm so glad the match just happened today because I'm deflecting from my boy Onana.
Oh, who are you going for?
Huh?
Who are you going for?
Did you not just see that Ederson performance? Hall of shame. But this is what I mean, right, about having a functioning team and players performing poorly in a functioning team.
You compare that to Onana?
No, but it looks a lot different because...
Come on, man.
Hold on. The performance Ederson had today isn't too dissimilar from like the bad performances Onana's had, right?
Did you watch the Champions League? But that's my point.
What's the worst things Onana has done, right? Is just let it palming in goals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ederson done that twice today. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, first goal and third
but
goal.
Nobody's coming out of that match and going, oh, Edison's the reason why City didn't win. Yeah. It's very different. It's very narratives. Different when you're in a team that's actually performing well and structured properly. When you're in a team, when you are, as Jose said, when you are in a moment, you need to be honest. Okay. Yeah. And bad performances look even worse.
Hold on. It sounds like you're trying to say Onana hasn't been that bad.
He's been, this is the point, he's been very bipolar because there's been some very good performances. And like statistically, if you look at it, he's actually
don't talk about stats. I watched this
game. I agree. But he's had some games where he's been very, very good. He's also had some very, very bad howlers. And obviously, I think with these modern day keepers, you're gonna get howlers every now and then, right? I think that's, apart from Alisson, and even Alisson's given us some howlers recently, you're gonna get this with these new brand of keepers.
Do you think Onana has had a performance as bad as De Gea versus Sevilla?
No, not yet. Oh yeah, that's a shocker. That you can't.
Are you putting that?
No. You can't go worse than that. That's like full of shame performance. De Gea has the Hall of Shameless performances in all of goalkeeping history.
No, Lloris Karius, Champions League final.
Yeah, but you got no.
Come on,
allow him for that.
Look at the stakes.
It's not his fault.
Well.
Yeah, but it's not his fault. He should never have been put there.
What do you?
He should have never. Bro, he was
the Champions League goalkeeper throughout the competition.
I hear it, but it's like putting me in an F1 car and then saying I came last. Like, it's not my fault. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, but that is worse than whatever they anything they had done for that club.
Nah.
You need to remember the Bale goal from how far outside the box. The Karim Benzema goal. He literally gives.
But look at the names he's coming up against. Karius should never be there.
I'd save those chances, bro.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't, bro.
I'm not a goalkeeper.
You have zero agility. Look at the size of you. You are stiff. You can barely turn sideways as is.
You need to remember, this guy shot from 40 yards out. The ball was coming right to him.
Bro, if you saw that, you'd be... Bro.
Here's a better goalkeeper.
Bro, and you'd be in goal still wearing your hat. Like, impossible.
What's Kirkland, isn't it? We're all good.
Bro, that shot will knock the hat off your head and go straight in.
No. I believe that's much, much worse than anything De Gea's ever done.
No.
You're not disrespecting De Gea. I even think that, from what I've seen from Onana this season, he makes mistakes a lot more frequently than De Gea does.
Bro, at least Karius here letting shots. De Gea just gave them the ball. De Gea just gave them the ball and said, I'm done today. Score.
Another goalkeeper howler, I'd say. This is kind of a different one, but Kepa in the, I think it's Carabao final with it's a howler because he's beefing his manager.
Oh, no, that's not a howler. That's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Like, I remember the game.
Bro, he had Sorry about to quit on the spot.
Sorry almost walked out.
Bro, he walked out.
And then he had to come back.
I'm so upset he walked back. I really wanted him to walk through them doors.
So I remember the game. So we're facing Man City. He's gotten injured.
Yeah.
He's gotten injured. Sorry's like, all right, cool. Let's bring on Willy Caballero. Let him come on.
Yeah.
I said, Aku, maybe sorry, like, Aku, yeah, stay on. But sorry, was like, no, we're gonna make the substitution. And he's like, no,
bro.
And players are coming up to him, like, bro, I need to leave the pitch. He's like, no, I'm not leaving the pitch. I'm not leaving.
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
My head was gone,
bro.
Sorry, smokes a lot of cigarettes.
Bro, he was about to spark one day.
He needed one
day. If he sparks one day, I said, bro, I hear it. I've been there.
I feel like from then on, like, Kepa's Chelsea career was always like down for somewhat failure.
I mean, it was going down the drain to begin with, but
no, I think
it was like
when you do
something like that, it's like you have to be the guy from then on. You can't do stuff like that and then just be like letting in anything willy nilly. That you have to play 10 out of 10 every game. 10.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Is there any other goalkeeping howlers you?
Yeah, I can name so many David De Gea ones if you want.
Forget about David.
For example, just David De Gea against Portugal World Cup. What was it? 2018
for Spain.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Horrible performance. Shambles of a performance.
You seem traumatized by this guy. You need to let it go,
bro. But it's for 10 years I've been watching him like ruin stuff for my club, and he's now tweeting. He's sending subs on Twitter.
That cold emoji.
Bro, shut up, man. You still ain't got a job. You're unemployed.
That's insane, man. This guy had the highest number of clean sheets last season.
Bro, how can you be unemployed and you're sending shots to man that are employed? Find shame. Go to the job center. Sign on. Bro.
So you'd rather have Onana than De Gea?
Who?
You'd rather have Onana.
100%. There's no way you can convince me otherwise.
I can convince you. Okay, forget about... You shouldn't really forget about this, but remember what De Gea has done for the club.
What? Bro, I've been through this.
Onana has no credit in the bank.
He's not done anything for my club.
He's won you a title.
No, he hasn't. When did he win us a title?
2013.
He won us that title.
He was a key component.
No, he wasn't. Behave.
You don't think he was a key component that
the
season?
Key component was Robin van Persie. Behave.
Okay, but okay. There's a spine of the team there.
And bro, do you know how many goals we conceded that season?
So you don't think United were that good that season?
No. It's just the spirit of Fergie carried us. Bro, I'll be real. They might have even done a bit of... the narrative, like you see the same way they gave Messi this World Cup.
Fair enough.
Man, I'm not having that.
Trying to think, can I think of any other goalkeeper?
Yeah, both of the Arsenal ones.
No, leave De Gea alone.
I just said both of the Arsenal ones.
Which ones?
Huh? Raya and Ramsdale.
Oh, Raya's been quite poor this season.
Both of
he?
Them.
He has been quite poor this season.
Shocking.
Even Sanchez this season against Arsenal. Declan Rice.
That's what I'm saying. These new age goalkeepers, you're just gonna get Haaland.
It just comes with territory.
Yeah, bro. So, just not,
so should we be less harsh when we're kind of criticizing them?
No, criticize them. No, no.
But
you just have to know it is what it is.
You need to think about it. We're giving them a lot more responsibility. When we go to the past,
you're not giving them more responsibility in terms of what they have to do in front of the goal. In fact, it's probably a bit on the ball. Fine. If their howlers were possession based,
most of them are.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Raya can't command across to save his life.
So he's like 5'2".
Well, that's his fault, bro. That's grow.
So if you're saying they haven't got more responsibility off the ball,
yeah,
are they just worse goalkeepers than we had in the past?
100%.
So goalkeepers have just declined.
The standard of actual shot stopping, has decreased.
Is that because they have to focus on other things at the same time? So they can't be as much focused on.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's that, but I think I would assume not that I'm there, but I would assume you know. Development from like ages whatever to whatever, it's just they're just working on shot stopping less, right? Because you have to work on your on the ball stuff,
of course.
So they just
as a result,
everything's about the 10,000 hours you put in, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just putting in less hours in terms of shot stopping, so is what it is.
I can't tell you that. We're coming from a period where we had the likes of Cech, where we had the likes of Buffon, we had Casillas, we had who else is there? Neuer at the top of his game. Like Neuer had a lot of things to. He was a sweeper keeper. He was a great shot stopper.
But he came up in the era of actual shot stopping.
Yeah.
So his development would have been a lot different. What I'm saying is now in training from the ages of 5 onwards. They're just focusing less on shot stopping.
So do you think the advantages of having a keeper who's good on the ball is seen throughout football? I feel like, in a sense, football's gotten worse because of it.
I mean, you see it in terms of, it's a necessary, I don't want to say necessary evil, but it's just something you have to do now because of the way most teams set up. Most teams kind of play in this possession style. So you need it. You can't get away without it. So it just has to be done.
Fair enough.
You can't just have your goalkeeper going long every 10 seconds.
I'm trying to think. Courtois is not great on the ball. Real Madrid don't do fantastically.
Yeah, but Madrid don't like... They're a bit of a weird team. They don't necessarily impose a lot of control, especially big games.
They don't need to.
They're
a team of moments.
Yeah, exactly.
They work out a team, they'll find a good moment, they'll score a goal.
Exactly. But also, that's based on like the old Madrid team that we're still yet to see what they're like in those moments now with their kind of new team.
That brings us perfectly into the best player in the world football.
Best
player in world football right now, without a shadow of a doubt, based on form. I'm not going to say like overall, because we do have Kylian Mbappe. Yeah? Anyway, let me just ignore that one. But I'm going to say Jude Bellingham is the best player on form in world football. That guy is scintillating.
It's hard to say otherwise.
He was injured for 2-3 games, came back straight away, scored a foot. That's great goal in the Champions
that's
League.
That's what I love. I hate these players that need time to warm up.
What's all of that?
Bro, do your job, man.
Come in, do your job. That's it. Score your goals. Like, and he's only 20. He's 20 years old.
I just worried that, like, he's going to get run into the ground. I really hope it doesn't happen.
He's been playing football for, like, in and out for quite a while. I don't really see it happening. But he's a talisman.
He has to wear them straps. What's it called?
I don't... I think Bellingham's that type. I think he's a very consistent player. He's gonna be fine.
I just hope like injuries don't get to him.
I'm not gonna put that into there. Obviously, it happened with Pedri. Pedri was, was he seen as the same? Like, maybe not because he didn't get as many.
Yeah.
He didn't get as many like goals and assists.
But he was seen as like that level highly, of talent. Yeah.
Exactly. And then injuries for the last season have just kind of dwindled his career. Yeah, he's coming back now. Similar's happened to Gavi right now. But I would say right now, he's Real Madrid's best player.
Comfy.
People presumed it was going to be Vinny. Like Vinny would take it.
Well, Vinny
mantle.
Came and said, yo, this is his team
yeah,
still.
Yeah, do your thing.
He said, what can I say?
And I hate mentioning this word, but he just has a certain aura on the pitch.
But that's so important.
I think it's very important for football.
Because I think in football, yeah, I think people like kind of overestimate, yeah, how great one player is over another. To be at that level of football, especially then at the top level, right, the defenders you're coming up against should be able, in theory, to kind of... But ultimately, it's all about... Bro, you're coming up against him, yeah. You go, what do I do? I'm panicked.
It's a mental war beforehand.
It's like for any job when you're under the coach, it's like, you know you can do this.
Of course.
But now you're under pressure, it's a bit... You're thinking twice about the decisions you're making. 100%. You need that. That's what Rashford used to have about him.
When he was really young, yeah.
He still has that.
I don't want to go back into Rashford, but a lot of his traits have kind of deteriorated. So. But anyway, yeah, Bellingham. And I feel like with a good season at Real Madrid, he's already scored about, I think, 15 league goals.
He can shut up shop, and he's had a good season.
I think if England do well in the Euros...
It'll be on him.
I'm talking Ballon d'Or.
Oh.
I'm looking Ballon d'Or. As long as Real Madrid do somewhat well in the Champions League.
If England win, then yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the narrative around it will be like, how many years has it been for England now? 50?
Michael Owen?
No, I'm saying in terms of winning something. A trophy, 66.
1966.
Almost
60 years.
That's almost 60 years. I think you can't beat that narrative. Bro, they're going to give it to him.
But who cares
They gave it to Modric, yeah? For a simple...
You got to a final and won the Champions
League. I'm saying? Come on, man. If you win the Euros with England, they got to give it to one of them. They got to give it.
So, well, why should they not give it to Kane then?
Was he playing in that dusty league, man?
He looks like he's about to break records in that league.
Yeah, so I could.
you couldn't break records in League One,
bro. Bro, that's what I mean. It's a trash league.
Respect Harry Kane, man.
They got Timo Werner scoring out there.
Apparently United want to sign Timo Werner.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
he could be a little...
No, he can't, man. Why do we always do this? Why can we never just like... Bro, why can't we just buy good players?
A £72 million striker who doesn't score goals.
Why do we always spend money on stripping us? Why have we spent £75 million on Sancho, £70 million on Casemiro? Why do we... When there's just obvious buys there.
Who's the... Name an obvious buy right now.
How, for instance, Declan Rice isn't our team? Someone we've been tracking.
He wasn't going to join you.
Impossible. Someone we was tracking for 5-6 seasons, yeah? Ollie wanted him. The guy was twerking for a move, yeah? And they told Ollie, no, we don't have the funds for this. All of a sudden, Ronaldo, the funds are there to pay him a million a week.
You bought Ronaldo for like 36
million. Yeah, but then we paid him $1 million a week in wages.
Wages and transfer fees are not the same thing, are they?
They are really, in terms of accounting, it's like, obviously, you need the money up front for... you don't necessarily. FFP. It depends on how you do it.
Installment, of course.
But no, because you still... The transfer fee and the wages get amortized as the same thing. So yeah. 150 million, for instance, in wage and transfer fee, as however much you split, is always the same in terms of... Mm-hmm. For the most part, in terms of the books, it's cash flow where it becomes tricky for a team. But how? Why? Why do we? There's
and
just
United had a cash flow problem, so it makes sense.
Well, we have a cash flow problem now, yeah, because we spent £70 million on Casemiro, £70 million on Sancho. God knows.
Okay,
what.
But at the time, you were happy for all these players to come to your club.
That's not true.
When you bought Sancho, Sancho.
I wasn't happy with Sancho. No,
come on.
No. I wanted a right winger. We needed a right winger. We bought someone who does his best work on the left. And I always said, I just don't see it for him in the Premier League because
he was decent on the right.
He doesn't have that explosiveness there. Yeah, but in that league, I could be decent on the right there.
You could be decent anywhere in that league, yeah?
Bro!
And what about Casemiro? When you first signed Casemiro,
I said, why are we spending $70 million on a 31-year-old who can't control a ball? It makes no sense to me.
Have you agreed with any of the signings Ten Hag's made?
Onana, I mean, I can't comment on that. The Onana one made sense. Everybody thought it made sense, right? It's just, we expected him to hit the ground running and obviously I still think he'll come back.
I knew Onana was not a great shot stopper, to be fair.
Fair. But Onana's pretty much the only one. Yeah.
Anthony?
No. 80 million for what? Fidget spinner? Nah, mate.
You didn't think he was a fidget spinner at Ajax, did you?
Bro, you really I don't watch the Eredivisie. I don't want no one from the Eredivisie. name one high profile signing from the Eredivisie that's banged in the last 10 years. There you go, I rest my case.
Damn. That's an interesting one.
Bro, they don't translate well to the Premier League. They don't.
So the Dutch league is rubbed.
Rubbed, bro. Rubbed. Their managers are rubbish. Their players are rubbish. I don't want nothing to do with that league.
You hear that, Eredivisie fans?
Get out of here.
Your leagues is shit.
Get out of here, man.
Anyway,
bro, Frank de Boer was looking like the world's best manager.
Oh, and he came like, bro, what, 6 games or something like that.
Bro, he's the original 007. No, man.
That's true, you know. That's crazy. But what was I going to say? Before we end, I'd just like to say the person who scored a goal against United, Rasboy.
I leave with something. I always leave with something.
He's been quite good this season.
He's a great player, man.
But anyway.
And that's what I'm saying. That's a Manchester United signing right there. Why are we getting...
That's a boring signing to me.
No, it's not,
it's not,
man.
The name that you need. You get...
No, bro, that's the... Name. Why are we going with names? We're doing Real Madrid 04 Galactico, yeah? But we're not even buying good Galacticos. Like, it don't make no sense. And we saw how it works for them. It didn't even work for them.
It's true. They didn't win any Champions Leagues. Barely won any leagues.
Bro, like, it's... Nah, man. Anthony, bro, give me... Just bring me them English players. But not Sancho. None from South London.
Oh. He can say that because he's from South London. Let me just put that out there. Don't come at him. Anyway, thank you for coming to the Rondo today. It's been a good episode. Thank you, Raf. Like, comment, subscribe. Let's go.
Let's do it. All right, boom.